everybody, welcome back to another episode of On the Mix. I'm your host, Lindsay, and today's episode is going to be a story that literally just came out. As of the 16th, singer Cassie filed a lawsuit against P. Diddy. There is a very long docket of information that her lawyers presented and put together for the lawsuit against P. Diddy, and it's very extensive, but I thought I would read to you what the facts of the case are, so that way you have all the exact information from the lawyer's mouth, from Cassie's mouth themselves, so you can hear what happened. Essentially, the story, Cassie filed a lawsuit against P. Diddy for sexual assault and rape allegations against him when they were in a relationship for many years while she was very young. Cassie, she was a singer that became popular around 2005, 2006. She was an R&B singer. P. Diddy has been known to kind of take these young artists under his wing and kind of mentor them in the music industry. And Cassie was just one of many, many, many artists that he kind of took under his wing. And according to her, he did some pretty disgusting, horrific, horrific things. And I just want to make it known that as of literally the day after this lawsuit was filed, Diddy and Cassie settled. I'll get into that after, but it was very quickly settled. A lot of people are saying that that gives a lot of credence to P. Diddy's culpability and his guilt, because why would he settle it so fast? The things that we're going to get into today are very triggering, so if you are triggered by talks of sexual assault, sexual abuse, drug and alcohol addictions, maybe this is not the episode for you today. But I am going to read to you guys what the docket has to say in terms of the facts of the case, and I'll leave a link down below to the entire thing so you can read all of it if you'd like. So this is kind of going to be like a little read-along with me, if you will. So without further ado, let's just jump right into it because there are a lot of things to cover. Cassie met P. Diddy in late 2005 or early 2006 after P. Diddy heard Cassie's first single playing in a club and expressed interest in signing her to his label, Bad Boy Records. At the time, Cassie was 19 years old, and P. Diddy was 37 years old. Within months, in February 2006, Cassie signed a 10-album deal with P. Diddy's record label. Cassie's first album, Cassie, was released in August 2006, debuting at number 4 on the US Billboard 200. To promote the album, Cassie made television appearances on MTV's Total Request Live and BET's 106 in Park. Cassie suffered from significant performance anxiety during these appearances, and press outlets were highly critical of Cassie's performances on these shows. P. Diddy, however, sought to rehabilitate his newly signed talent, telling MTV News, "You could hear the nervousness in her voice, and to be honest, I kind of smiled at it, because it made me really appreciate what I really love about her. She's a regular person. It just made me appreciate that she got nervous, and it was kind of cute to me, to be honest. You've got to understand that success for her is coming out of nowhere. It's just so huge, and sometimes everybody handles it differently." While clearly paternalistic in noting that it was cute to him how regular Cassie appeared, P. Diddy comments rang true to some extent upon signing with Bad Boy Records. Cassie was quickly thrust into the spotlight and was unfamiliar with how to navigate her new celebrity status. P. Diddy's recognition and glorification of Cassie's naivete proved to set the groundwork for his manipulative and coercive romantic and sexual relationship with Cassie, a woman nearly 2 decades his junior. Within a year of signing with Bad Boy Records, P. Diddy became deeply entrenched in Cassie's life, almost immediately asserting possession and control over her, and inserting himself into all aspects of her career and personal life. In November 2006, P. Diddy invited Cassie to perform his song Come To Me along with him at the MTV Europe Music Awards in Copenhagen, Denmark. After rehearsal for the performance, P. Diddy walked around in a robe with a drink in his hand, flaunting his lavish party lifestyle to his label's newly signed artist. During hair and makeup leading up to the performance, Cassie's hairstylist and P. Diddy's makeup artist told Cassie that P. Diddy was interested in Cassie. Cassie shrugged off the gossip and, in fact, expressed disgust given the large age gap between her and the president of her record label. Emphasizing the age and power dynamic early on in their working relationship, P. Diddy positioned himself as a father figure and protector of Cassie. By way of example, after returning to New York after a trip to Las Vegas, during which she endured a brief hospital stay, Cassie, who by then was fully healthy, went out to a club with her friends. When P. Diddy saw her out, he reprimanded her, telling her to go home and take care of herself. At the time, Cassie thought that her record label was looking out for her well-being and that P. Diddy had her best interests in mind. P. Diddy also ensured he was intertwined with Cassie's personal and social life, for instance, by inviting himself to Cassie's 21st birthday party in Las Vegas. He also brought along famous musicians and producers, thereby flaunting his celebrity status and influence in front of a young and impressionable Cassie. Although P. Diddy knew that Cassie was in a relationship at the time, and even though he was publicly in a relationship with Kim Porter, P. Diddy nevertheless pursued Cassie. At an after party in a hotel suite following Cassie's 21st birthday party, P. Diddy pulled Cassie into a bathroom and forcibly kissed her. Cassie did not consent to this unwanted contact. She immediately ran out of the bathroom in the hotel suite and cried. She told her best friend at the time about what had happened, but was too scared to tell anyone else. At the Video Music Awards the following day, Cassie's boyfriend at the time joined her and P. Diddy at a table at the awards ceremony. P. Diddy became angry, telling Cassie that the invitation to the awards ceremony was only for her and not for her significant other. Despite her clear rejection of P. Diddy's advances, P. Diddy continued to demand Cassie spend time with him, including for a weekend at P. Diddy's residence in Miami and for nights out in New York City. On one particular night around September 2007, P. Diddy insisted on taking Cassie out. Cassie acquiesced, fearing that rejecting P. Diddy's request would have repercussions for her album deal with P. Diddy and his company, Bad Boy Records. P. Diddy picked up Cassie from her apartment in Manhattan in a blue luxury vehicle. Cassie was surprised that when she got into the car, P. Diddy was already inebriated. He handed her a pill and told her to take it. When Cassie asked what the pill was, P. Diddy dismissed her and told her she would like it. She later learned the pill was ecstasy, something Cassie had never before tried and did not want to try. This was the first time P. Diddy got Cassie high. P. Diddy then proceeded to drive recklessly at very high speeds down the West Side Highway of Manhattan. Cassie was very scared, but did not dare to object P. Diddy, who appeared drunk, high, and agitated. P. Diddy took Cassie to an upscale lounge in downtown Manhattan, where he proceeded to get into an altercation with the security staff who would not permit P. Diddy to enter, presumably because he was belligerent. Cassie decided to go home, but for the remainder of the night, P. Diddy messaged Cassie incessantly, complaining that she left him high and alone. In early fall 2007, P. Diddy flexed his power and influence when he paid a promoter to create a fake flyer for a party hosted by Cassie. This fake posting allowed Cassie to have an excuse to go to Miami, Florida, and get her away from her boyfriend by using the guise of a legitimate event she had to attend. Cassie was stunned at how easily P. Diddy was able to recruit others to lie for him. Cassie was uncomfortable with the fake flyer, but because the request to go to Miami was made by the owner of her record label, and because she was scared to go against his wishes and face repercussions for her career, Cassie agreed to join P. Diddy in Florida. During this trip to Miami, P. Diddy provided Cassie with copious amounts of drugs. She became more intoxicated than she ever had before, and her intoxication lasted throughout the weekend trip. As she wanted P. Diddy to continue to support her career, she felt she could not refuse P. Diddy's urging her to take more drugs. After providing her with drugs, P. Diddy had sexual intercourse with Cassie during this trip. Within 2 years of meeting P. Diddy, Cassie found herself lured into the intimate circle of her boss, the owner of her record label, and one of the most powerful men in the entertainment industry. From the very start of their relationship, P. Diddy exerted his power and influence over Cassie. This dynamic was fueled by their nearly 20-year age difference, as well as their relative positions in the entertainment industry. With P. Diddy considered a music mogul, and Cassie at the very start of her career as an entertainer. P. Diddy's aggressive and demanding approach to those he worked with made it impossible for anyone to challenge him, and Cassie soon learned that P. Diddy insisted on blind loyalty from everyone in his inner circle. Although Cassie had saved up some earnings from her young modeling career, P. Diddy's ostentatious display of wealth was intimidating to her. P. Diddy paid for things with wads of cash and would repeatedly tell Cassie, "Don't worry about money, I have money." P. Diddy expensed lavish vacations for him and Cassie, purchased a car for her, paid for her apartment, and provided her with extensive amounts of designer clothing. Around 2008 or 2009, P. Diddy began to rent an apartment in Manhattan for Cassie. The apartment was within walking distance of P. Diddy's New York residence. He first showed Cassie the apartment by bringing her there along with her parents. Cassie's parents were skeptical of the mogul's display of wealth, but proud of their daughter's newfound success. Around 2010, P. Diddy similarly paid for an apartment for Cassie in Los Angeles, which was located about 5 minutes away from P. Diddy's residence. He paid for many of her apartments in California and also purchased a Jaguar for her around 2013 or 2014. All aspects of Cassie's life were controlled by either P. Diddy or his management companies. Every event Cassie attended, from the travel to the makeup and clothing, was paid for directly by P. Diddy and his affiliated companies. Compounding this all-encompassing intrusion into her life, P. Diddy secured his control over the young and impressionable Cassie by introducing her to a drug-fueled lifestyle that kept her complacent and compliant. P. Diddy first introduced Cassie to opiates around 2008 and would often have pills and other drugs out in the open like candy. Upon information and belief, P. Diddy has been addicted to prescription painkillers and took ecstasy frequently. At first, Cassie was given the prescriptions that P. Diddy received from a doctor in Miami, Florida. Eventually, when P. Diddy exhausted his supply of pills, he demanded that Cassie procure prescriptions from this Miami doctor in her own name. P. Diddy also became deeply involved in Cassie's personal life, with his personal staff attending to Cassie's day-to-day travel and other needs, including medical care. On multiple occasions, P. Diddy had Cassie's personal medical records sent directly to his email address. For instance, when Cassie began experiencing memory loss, potentially due to excessive drug use and/or head injuries caused by P. Diddy's beatings, her MRI results were provided directly to P. Diddy. P. Diddy also repeatedly arranged for his staff to drive Cassie to certain doctor's appointments. In this way, P. Diddy exerted ownership over Cassie. As another example of the ways in which he manipulated Cassie and ensured her obedience early on in their relationship, he asked Cassie what she called her grandfather. When Cassie said that she referred to her grandfather as Papa, P. Diddy perversely insisted that Cassie refer to him with that nickname. What started as a whirlwind of celebrity meetings and drug and alcohol-fueled parties, however, quickly turned frightening and violent. Cassie was also exposed to the intense violence that pervaded P. Diddy's rise to fame. For example, on one occasion when P. Diddy and Cassie were using drugs together in his home, one of his security staff barged in and announced that Suge Knight, a longtime rival of P. Diddy, was spotted at Mel's Drive-In Diner in Los Angeles. P. Diddy began to get dressed, retrieved multiple guns from a safe, and ran out of his home to where he believed Suge Knight was dining. Cassie became terrified and began to cry. On at least two occasions, P. Diddy demanded that Cassie hold P. Diddy's gun in her purse. Cassie had no familiarity with guns and was petrified that the firearm would accidentally go off in her purse. There was no clear reason why P. Diddy required her to hold his guns, except to reinforce to this young girlfriend that he was violent, powerful, and dangerous. Over the next decade, multiple times each year, P. Diddy would violently beat Cassie, leaving bruises on her body. After every instance in which he beat Cassie, P. Diddy used his money and power to orchestrate extensive efforts to hide the evidence of his abuse, including by hiding Cassie in hotels for days at a time to let her bruises heal. In one such instance, after a party with Jay-Z, P. Diddy beat Cassie repeatedly in an Escalade, including by kicking her and hitting her. He forced her out of the vehicle on Fifth Avenue in New York City. She was eventually able to hail a cab and get to her apartment in Manhattan, where she cried in fear, realizing there was no one she could tell about what had happened at the hands of this incredibly powerful man. She spent the subsequent 3 days hiding in her apartment. In January 2009, after P. Diddy learned that Cassie spoke to another music manager at a party in Los Angeles, he became enraged. She had hoped speaking to this manager would allow her to further grow her career and that P. Diddy would be happy for her, but instead he became extremely angry and pulled her out of the club where the party was taking place. In the car leaving the club, P. Diddy beat Cassie, pushing her into a corner of the vehicle and stomping on her face. P. Diddy's security staff, Roger Bonds, tried to stop the beating but was unable to de-escalate the situation. When the car arrived at P. Diddy's residence, Cassie attempted to run away, but P. Diddy followed her and proceeded again to kick her in the face. Cassie was bleeding profusely and was ushered into P. Diddy's house where she began to throw up from the violent assault. Upon recognition of the damage he had done and the physical evidence of his abuse, P. Diddy panicked and forced his staff to bring Cassie to a hotel suite at the London Hotel in Los Angeles, where she was required to stay for a week. During this stay, her injuries from the beating healed, and Cassie began to fully realize that P. Diddy's tremendously loyal network not only knew about and witnessed his assault, but also that these witnesses were not willing to do anything meaningful to stop P. Diddy's behavior. She recognized she was powerless and that reporting P. Diddy to the authorities would not alter P. Diddy's status or influence, but would merely give P. Diddy another excuse to hurt her. While in the hotel, she asked to go home to her parents, but P. Diddy wouldn't let her leave. She lied to her mother when asked about an online gossip forum that reported the assault. P. Diddy proceeded to instruct his assistant to purchase excessive amounts of gifts for Cassie, which were delivered to the hotel room where she remained trapped. Cassie was terrified, isolated, and unable to see a pathway out of P. Diddy's abusive hold on her life. She found herself becoming numb to the abuse that she was experiencing and became entirely beholden to P. Diddy's demands. She began to blindly follow his instructions out of fear of again being on the receiving end of a vicious beating. By P. Diddy's own admission, his relationship with Cassie was like Bobby and Whitney, a clear acknowledgement of the unequal power dynamic and excessive domestic violence that permeated their relationship. From the outside looking in, Cassie had heard others refer to her relationship with P. Diddy as akin to Ike and Tina. Her volatile, abusive partner, who also owned her label and therefore held her future success in his hands, had fully exerted control over every aspect of her life. Within a few months of beginning a romantic relationship with 40-year-old P. Diddy, the 22-year-old Cassie felt beholden to his whims and demands. While in New York City, P. Diddy told Cassie that he wanted to engage in a fantasy of his called voyeurism. The first time, P. Diddy hired a man and brought the man to his home in Los Angeles. The man, P. Diddy, and Cassie wore masquerade masks and ingested drugs. P. Diddy directed Cassie to perform sexual acts with this man while P. Diddy watched them. He masturbated while he directed Cassie and the man to do specific acts. The encounter lasted multiple days. P. Diddy began to call the arrangement a freak-off or F.O. He would repeatedly tell Cassie at random moments that he wanted an F.O., and Cassie was eventually expected to facilitate the location and the hiring of male sex workers. At certain points during Cassie and P. Diddy's relationship, he would insist on an F.O. weekly. P. Diddy would repeatedly tell Cassie that this practice was our thing and our secret. F.O.s would often take place in hotel suites, included at the Trump International Hotel in Columbus Circle, L'Hermitage Beverly Hills, the London Hotel in Los Angeles, the Intercontinental Century City, the Intercontinental Atlanta, the Intercontinental New York City, the One Hotel in New York and in Miami, the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in New York and in Miami, the Fontaine Bleu in Miami, the Beverly Hills Hotel, and Shutters on the Beach in Los Angeles. On one occasion around 2013, P. Diddy had an FO set up at the Intercontinental Hotel in New York City, after which he was charged with tens of thousands of dollars in damages by the hotel. Upon information and belief, P. Diddy's chief of staff, Tony Fletcher, paid the invoice charged by the hotel. Cassie was eventually instructed to use websites and escort services to find male sex workers to participate the FOs. Sometimes P. Diddy would pay to fly male sex workers to his location, including to multiple cities in the United States as well as abroad. He required Cassie and his staff to help him make these arrangements. P. Diddy's assistants would help to set up the FOs, including by setting up the hotel suites with baby oil and Astroglide. P. Diddy always supplied Cassie and the sex worker with copious amounts of drugs before and during the FOs. Cassie was given ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, and alcohol in excessive amounts during the FOs, which allowed her to disassociate during these horrific encounters. It became commonplace to get IV fluids in the days after an FO to recover from the excessive substances pushed upon her. Cassie was required to dress up in lingerie for an FO, and P. Diddy insisted she wear white nail polish to contrast her nails with the skin of the black men he hired to have sex with her. During the FO, P. Diddy would instruct Cassie to pour excessive amounts of oil over herself. P. Diddy would then instruct Cassie and the sex workers to speak to each other, and then would specifically tell Cassie where to touch the sex workers. During the FOs, in addition to directing Cassie and masturbating, P. Diddy would use his phone, laptop, and tablet to film Cassie having sex with the hired sex worker. He treated the forced encounter as a personal art project, adjusting the candles he used for lighting to frame the videos he took. While Cassie quickly deleted any photographs or videos of sex act if they were taken on her phone, P. Diddy repeatedly made clear that he retained many videos of Cassie during FOs. Even when she deleted the videos, P. Diddy would tell Cassie that he was able to recover deleted videos from her devices. On one occasion, he sat next to her on a flight and made her watch a video she thought she had deleted, reinforcing her inability to escape and the immense power he held over her. P. Diddy would pay the male sex workers a few thousand dollars in cash for their services. During some FOs, P. Diddy would become extremely intoxicated and would hit Cassie in front of the male sex workers. Cassie was repulsed by P. Diddy's demands, but between the physical beating and recognizing his incredible power and incredible temper, Cassie became petrified of her partner and boss and felt that she could not say no. He would even present her with lavish gifts prior to or in the middle of the FOs, seemingly acknowledging the ways in which these forced sexual encounters constituted work for Cassie and that he needed to compensate her for this work. At one point, he had given her so many designer bracelets for FOs and immediately following his brutal beatings that she felt she was shackled by his presence. Frequently, her anxiety before an FO would become so great that she would become physically ill, sometimes to the point of vomiting. While kneeling over the toilet, P. Diddy would shame her into performing for him, even forcing her to get up and proceed with the encounter. She knew firsthand that telling P. Diddy that she did not want to engage in FOs was met with anger and violence. In addition, any suggestion that Cassie would refuse the FO or otherwise report P. Diddy's abuse was met with ultimatums by P. Diddy, who would say that Cassie could not go to the police because she had a lot to lose. Around 2015, for example, in the middle of a surprise birthday dinner for Cassie's 29th birthday, P. Diddy insisted that Cassie leave the party and go to a hotel for an FO. When she expressed that she did not want to go, P. Diddy had Cassie cornered by his security staff in order to force her to leave with him. After this FO, P. Diddy and Cassie went back to the hotel room that Cassie was staying in, where some of Cassie's friends were already hanging out. P. Diddy was severely intoxicated and at one point during the night picked up one of Cassie's friends like a child and dangled the friend over the balcony of the 17th floor hotel suite. Cassie and her friends were scared by P. Diddy's erratic behavior, but Cassie was heavily sedated because of the drugs she took to participate in the FO and therefore was unable to respond to P. Diddy's terrifying behavior. FOs became work for Cassie, and despite her protestations, P. Diddy insisted on these intricately staged and forced sexual encounters between Cassie and various sex workers. Anytime she tried to create distance between her and P. Diddy, he used his networks to find her and convince her to return to his abuse. On multiple occasions, P. Diddy sent his employees to lure Cassie back. In 2011, during a rough patch in P. Diddy and Cassie's relationship, Cassie had a brief relationship with musician Kid Cudi. When P. Diddy returned from a trip, he demanded another FO of Cassie. She acquiesced. During this FO, P. Diddy found Cassie's phone and found emails between her and Kid Cudi. P. Diddy became enraged and proceeded to place a manual corkscrew between his fingers and lunged at Cassie. Cassie ran away to stay at Kid Cudi's home to escape P. Diddy's wrath. Soon thereafter, one of P. Diddy's staff members told Cassie that he needed to just talk to P. Diddy, even though P. Diddy was enraged. Feeling like she could not escape P. Diddy and his network of enforcers, Cassie returned to P. Diddy. He hit her several times and then kicked her in the back as she tried to run out the door. She went to her parents' home in Connecticut, where her mother took pictures of the bruises P. Diddy had left on Cassie's body. In February 2012, during Paris Fashion Week, P. Diddy told Cassie that he was going to blow up Kid Cudi's car and that he wanted to ensure that Kid Cudi was home with his friends when it happened. Around that time, Kid Cudi's car exploded in his driveway. Cassie was terrified, and she began to fully comprehend what P. Diddy was both willing and able to do to those he believed had slighted him. In 2015, Cassie spoke to a popular music manager at an after party in a hotel suite in Las Vegas. P. Diddy saw her speaking to this manager and sternly told her to step into the bedroom adjoining the suite. In the bedroom, P. Diddy beat Cassie severely. She ran from corner to corner of the room trying to avoid P. Diddy's beating and kicking. When she tried to lock herself in the bathroom, he pushed through and punched and kicked her while she curled up under the toilet. Her screams were drowned by the loud music playing in the outside area of the hotel suite. When P. Diddy's head of security and assistant saw Cassie after the assault, they began to cry. Cassie had two black eyes, a burst and bruised lip, and a huge welt on her forehead. Upon seeing the results of his vicious attack, P. Diddy immediately took steps to conceal his wrongdoing. He forced Cassie to stay at his home in Holmby Hills along with one of his sons. While there, P. Diddy FaceTimed Cassie and stated, "You gotta go up and put more makeup on. My son can't see you like that." She did put makeup on, per P. Diddy's demands. Cassie felt that she had no choice but to obey her abuser. Even though security guards, assistants, and friends saw the situation she was in, and no one dared to help her or speak up on her behalf, she therefore had no choice but to remain subservient. Later in 2015, while shooting a movie in Cape Town, South Africa, Cassie began a flirtatious relationship with an actor. She spent New Year's Eve with this actor, but P. Diddy soon found out. P. Diddy called the actor and threatened him. The actor proceeded to call Cassie and tell her, "You really need to call P. Diddy." In or around March 2016, during an FO at the Intercontinental Hotel in Century City, Los Angeles, P. Diddy became extremely intoxicated and punched Cassie in the face, giving her a black eye. After he fell asleep, Cassie tried to leave the hotel room, but as she exited, P. Diddy awoke and began screaming at Cassie. He followed her into the hallway of the hotel while yelling at her. He grabbed at her and then took glass vases in the hallway and threw them at her, causing glass to crash around them as she ran to the elevator to escape. She managed to get into the elevator, and when she got to the lobby, quickly took a cab to her apartment. Upon realizing that her running away would cause P. Diddy to become even angrier with her and completely stuck in his vicious cycle of abuse, Cassie returned to the hotel with the intention of apologizing for running away from her abuser. When she returned, hotel staff urged her to get back into a cab and go to her apartment, suggesting that they had seen the security footage showing P. Diddy beating Cassie and throwing glass at her in the hotel hallway. Upon information and belief, P. Diddy paid the Intercontinental Century City $50,000 for the hallway security footage from that evening. After this, Cassie left her home in Comstock and went to hide away at a friend's home in Florida. James Cruz, president of Bad Boy Management, tracked Cassie down and told her that her single would not be released if she did not answer P. Diddy's phone calls. A woman who worked at Sony Music reached out to her with a similar ultimatum concerning her record. Incredibly, P. Diddy even convinced one of his attorneys to call Cassie at this time. This lawyer told Cassie that it's in your best interest to call P. Diddy back. Each time Cassie tried to run away, P. Diddy and his powerful network would force her back to him. P. Diddy's tight hold over her life had irreparably damaged her friendships. Around 2018, when Cassie was with her friend Carrie Morgan in her house, P. Diddy used his key to Cassie's house and came in unannounced. He and Miss Morgan had an altercation, during which P. Diddy threw a hanger at Carrie. Upon information and belief, the incident resulted in a settlement between P. Diddy and Carrie Morgan, and Cassie ended up paying for Carrie's additional funds in an attempt to resolve the dispute between her close friend and her abusive and controlling boyfriend. The relationship between Cassie and Carrie Morgan has been strained since this time. Seeing the extreme measures P. Diddy took to keep a tight hold on Cassie and isolate her from her support network, and having experienced the repercussions of rejecting his demands, Cassie felt that saying no to P. Diddy would cost her something: her family, her friends, her career, or even her life. By 2017 and 2018, Cassie became desperate to leave P. Diddy and his abuse of her. She recognized that if she stayed with him, she would never be able to have a successful career or ever be physically and mentally safe. She therefore became determined to completely break away from P. Diddy and his cycle of abuse and made concerted efforts to avoid him. In September 2018, she joined P. Diddy for a dinner at an Italian restaurant in Malibu, California, for what she believed would be a discussion about concluding their relationship for good. After dinner, P. Diddy and Cassie returned to Cassie's home, which was paid for by P. Diddy. P. Diddy forced himself into her apartment and tried to kiss Cassie. She told him to stop and attempted to push him away. P. Diddy then forcibly pulled off Cassie's clothing and unbuckled his belt. He proceeded to rape Cassie while she repeatedly said no and tried to push him away. Soon thereafter, Cassie took steps to completely separate herself from her longtime abuser, including by leaving the home that he paid for and returning the car he purchased for her. Despite moving away, Cassie's address was posted online in early 2019, leading to fears for her safety. Cassie, who was under immense duress during the months after P. Diddy raped her, took all steps possible to entirely remove herself from her abuser's ambit, including by entering into contracts to end her record deal with Bad Boy Entertainment. As a result of the immense trauma Cassie endured for over a decade with P. Diddy, she has suffered and continues to suffer from immense emotional distress. Following her escape from the cycle of abuse and sex trafficking she endured, she struggled with the physical and mental manifestations of her trauma. The birth of her two children, however, allowed her a new lease on life and gave her purpose. She credits her children with saving her from the trauma that had consumed over a decade of her life. Except for the months when she was pregnant with her children, Cassie struggled with her addictions for drugs and alcohol, addictions that were established and fueled by P. Diddy. She turned to substances to drown out the memories of her abuse. Without being intoxicated, she suffered from horrible nightmares of the forced sexual acts that P. Diddy demanded she participate in during the regularly scheduled FOs and of the physical beatings that she endured throughout her relationship. She had difficulty eating or sleeping, and her relationship with her family suffered. During this time, she frequently had thoughts of ending her life. To rebuild her life and her career, Cassie needed to completely reinvent herself. She checked herself into inpatient treatment at a rehabilitation center where she first confronted the extent of the trauma she lives with. She has required intensive therapy and other medical care to recover from P. Diddy's abuse, and she will forever live with the physical and psychological repercussions of the over a decade of violence, fear, and exploitation she endured. Although Cassie was unable to speak up against the years of abuse she endured at the hands of P. Diddy, she has since been able to rebuild her life and confront her trauma. Thanks to the passage of New York's Adult Survivors Act and California's Sexual Abuse Accountability and Cover-Up Act, she is now ready and able to also confront her abuser and to hold him and those who enabled his abuse accountable for their actions. So that are the facts as presented by her lawyer in the lawsuit. Now, like I stated at the beginning of this episode, very shortly after this lawsuit came to fruition, there was a settlement reached between Diddy and Cassie. And I'm going to read the statements that came out from both P. Diddy and Cassie. So while the lawsuit was going on, and while all of this was happening, P. Diddy's attorney responded to the filing by saying that P. Diddy vehemently denies these offensive and outrageous allegations. Now, what I thought was very interesting is that P. Diddy hired the former lawyer of Harvey Weinstein. So, I don't know. I think that kind of says a lot to me. I think he's in very good company with this lawyer and with the likes of Harvey Weinstein, but anyway, I digress. His lawyer went on to say, "For the past 6 months, P. Diddy has been subjected to Cassie's persistent demand of $30 million under the threat of writing a damaging book about their relationship, which was unequivocally rejected as blatant blackmail. Despite withdrawing her initial threat, Cassie has now resorted to filing a lawsuit riddled with baseless and outrageous lies, aiming to tarnish P. Diddy's reputation and seeking a payday." Well, isn't that just extremely convenient? It's all about the money, right? It's all about taking P. Diddy, her abuser, to court just for the money of it all. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Seems about right, to be honest, with how things have gone in the Hollywood sphere. So that makes a lot of sense, right? That they would kind of go this route, you know, discredit the victim as much as possible. Yeah, that makes sense. So this was Cassie's statement at the beginning while this complaint was being filed. She said, "After years in silence and darkness, I am finally ready to tell my story and to speak up on behalf of myself and for the benefit of other women who face violence and abuse in their relationships. With the expiration of New York's Adult Survivors Act fast approaching, it became clear that this was an opportunity to speak up about the trauma I have experienced and that I will be recovering from for the rest of my life." So those are the statements that they made while this complaint was being filed, then the lawsuit came through, and then very shortly after, like I said, maybe a day or not even more than a couple of days after this lawsuit went through, they had a settlement. It was very quick. It was squashed because, of course, we know that if this was really taken to court, we would have heard a lot more stuff about P. Diddy's past. Now, upon learning of all this information about Cassie and P. Diddy's relationship, I actually learned a lot more stuff. Like I said, P. Diddy mentored a lot, a plethora, a slew of young musicians back in the day. I don't know if he still does, but he used to like Usher, and he mentored and was friends with 50 Cent and with Justin Bieber and others. Those are predominantly the ones that people, I think, maybe know him the most for. And there are some very shady, odd, sketchy things there as well. But also the fact that the women that P. Diddy has dated as well, that is a whole other weird point as well. Just so many weird things that P. Diddy has done in his life that I had never even been privy to until this court case with Cassie came about. So I'm very, very, very happy and proud of Cassie for speaking her mind and for having the bravery to come up and to fight her abuser. It took her so long to do it, and she was scared, rightfully so. And we all know that in society that when a woman speaks up about her abuse that she endured at the hands of her abuser, a lot of people won't believe her. The lawsuit is settled. Who knows what's going to happen from this point on? I'm not sure, but I'll read to you the statements that both P. Diddy's lawyer and Cassie's lawyer made. So P. Diddy's statement was, "We have decided to resolve this matter amicably. I wish Cassie and her family all the best. Love." And then his lawyer said that the decision to settle is in no way an admission of wrongdoing. P. Diddy's decision to settle the lawsuit does not in any way undermine his flat-out denial of the claims. He is happy they got to a mutual settlement and wishes Cassie the best. Of course he does. It's sad that there was a settlement because I'm sure that's not what she wanted, but in some ways I'm sure she just wanted to get her statement out there. And you know what? Regardless of the settlement, her story is out there. And that's all I think that she needed to do. Her story is out there to the public, and now we know about the monster that is P. Diddy. He flew under the radar completely for me. I had no idea that this was even happening. It's nasty. But yet again, the things about like him with Usher, when Usher was young, doing kind of very similar things with Usher and very similar things with Justin Bieber. Like, and you see how messed up Justin Bieber is. I mean, the things that you endure around someone like P. Diddy, who uses drugs and sex and power and money to hold authority over these really young, impressionable kids. Because Cassie was young, Usher was a young teenager when he was taken under P. Diddy's wing, Justin Bieber was a teenager. I mean, it's disgusting. So, you know, there's just a lot here. And I'm glad that this story is out there because now we know. And, you know, let's see what comes about from this whole lawsuit. Will more people come forward with their stories about P. Diddy? Who knows? Will P. Diddy fade into obscurity? Will he still have power in the music industry? I kind of hope that Cassie can take her power back even further and come out with new music. I haven't kept up with Cassie's music since probably 2006, so I don't know if she's been doing anything new lately or if she has something in the pipeline, but I think she could really have a wicked comeback in the music sphere, like Britney Spears is doing, actually. That'd be cool of her to do, and I hope that she puts out new music if she wants to do that, and I think that would be a smart move for her because she could really take her power back. Similar again to what Kesha did too with her career after the whole Dr. Luke scandal happened there. So she could have a very, very, very lush second chance at her music career if she like took her power back even further. But that's even if she even wants to do that. That's just my kind of humble opinion because I would love new music from her. But thank you very much for listening. I hope that you guys enjoyed and that you learned something today that you hadn't known about before. Enjoy Thanksgiving. This will be out the day before Thanksgiving, so enjoy Thanksgiving. Have a wonderful holiday, and I will see you guys next Wednesday with another episode of On the Mix. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye, guys.